I podcast di Affari Internazionali, la rivista dello IAI.
Sono Alessandra D'Archini, ufficio stampa dello IAI. In questo podcast vi proponiamo il discorso integrale della Presidente della Commissione europea Ursula von der Leyen, in occasione dell'inaugurazione dell'anno accademico presso l'Università Cattolica di Milano, del 19 dicembre 2021. La traduzione in italiano è nella sezione Transizioni del nostro sito. Buon ascolto.
Magnifico Rettore. Your Excellency Archbishop Delpini, Minister Gelmini, President Monti, Honorable Members of the Italian Parliament, Honorable Member of the European Parliament, Patrizia Toia, President Prodi, Mayor, distinguished guests, dear students and faculty. It is a great pleasure to be here with you today in this stunning hall, surrounded by art and history. But most importantly is for me that I'm very glad to be with you, the students and the teachers who will fill this ancient cloister with life, passing knowledge and values from one generation to the next. Today, we celebrate together the first century of Università Cattolica and the beginning of the 101st academic year. Since December 1921, Cattolica has raised generations of Italian leaders. The post-war generation who wrote Italy's constitution and rebuilt the country, and then the following generation of leaders who made Italy an industrial power and a strong democracy at the heart of Europe. Among them, there is also one of my predecessors as President of the European Commission, Romano Prodi, who is here with us today. Professore, what an honor. Thank you for being here. And now a new generation of leaders is being raised here. The generation who will shape the post-pandemic Italy. And that generation is you, the students who are here today and who are listening in the other room. In a few years from now, you will be the young professionals bringing with you fresh ideas and new energy. The future is in your hands. It belongs to the next generation of Europeans. And this makes me confident. Even if the fourth wave of the pandemic is upon us, and in spite of all the uncertainties we are still facing, you aren't just the first generation of digital natives, the most connected ones, the most educated generation in our history. You are also showing a great sense of responsibility towards the planet and towards people around you. Since the beginning of the pandemic, young people have truly led by example. Here in Italy, Over 80% of people your age are now fully vaccinated, a higher percentage compared to people a few years older than you. And at Università Cattolica, you have put your skills at the service of others. And thanks to professors and staff who have always encouraged solidarity and volunteering. For instance, I was told that senior students created study groups to help freshmen. And in Piacenza, marketing students are helping local NGOs to reach out to new donors. In these 2 years, young Europeans have taught us so much. So I would plain and simply want to say thank you. Thank you for setting the example and for urging us to aim higher. The future of Europe is in good hands. Now, I would like Europe to give something back to you. I believe Europe must work first and foremost for the next generation. Voglio un'Europa al servizio dei giovani. Because let's face it, the generation before you, the millennials, entered the jobs market in the middle of the financial crisis. For many of them, it took years before they could find their first job. In recent years, the situation has started to improve. But still, one young Italian in four does not have a job or does not study. So, of course, many of you are questioning the economy and the world you are inheriting from us, because too often they don't match your aspirations about life. Europe's young people do not only aspire to good jobs that pay well, you also want to work for companies that are ethical companies, that take responsibility for the planet and for others. You demand fair working conditions and the chance to build your own family, and rightly so. And you deserve it, absolutely nothing less than that, because the future that is at stake, that's your future. And the tide is finally turning. Thanks to European solidarity and to Italy's successful handling of the pandemic, the Italian economy is growing faster than at any time in this century. Italy's economic output will rise to pre-crisis level already mid next year. That means by the time the most senior students among you graduate, demand is growing and companies are hiring. Never in recent years have so many jobs been vacant. And yet, too many young people are still unemployed. In these months of economic recovery, youth employment has picked up more slowly than the overall employment rate. So it's time to fix that. I want an economy that works for young people like you. An economy that matches your expectations. A European economy for the next generation. And our union has taken many different shades through the decades since it was created. At the beginning, Europe was all about peace and reconciliation after World War II. It was about finding our place in a world split by the Cold War. Teachers and graduates from this university had a huge role in bringing Italy at the center of Europe and shaping the idea of Europe. And then, generation after generation, Europe was always work in progress, step by step. It has grown from an economic community to the political union of today. And thanks to European elections, thanks to Erasmus, thanks to the Lisbon Treaty, a European citizenship has progressively emerged. And in these last 2 years, Europe now has again taken a new step forward in how to respond to this crisis. For the first time in our history, we joined forces to procure and produce vaccines for all Europeans. It is because of this that we now have all the doses we need to face the fourth wave in the pandemic. And for the first time ever in our history, we have put together a recovery plan financed by us, the European Union of 27, to help each member state recover and reshape its economy. And we call it Next Generation EU. With these two decisions, we have already entered in a new phase of the history of our union. So what is this new union doing for your generation? What are the great risks and issues of our times that our union must address? What is our mission for the 2020s and beyond? I would like to answer with three words: planet, innovation, and democracy. Your generation is more aware of climate change and more vocal in demanding action than all previous generations, and rightly so. The impact of climate change are already upon us. These impacts will get worse and worse in the coming decades if we don't act now. Climate change is man-made. It's us. So because of this, it's us who can fix it. This is the call for empowerment, for obligation, and for responsibility to do something about it. We can do it. And you know what our future could look like if we are to stop the current trends. We will have a circular economy. The energy that will heat and cool our homes will no more be from dirty fossil fuels, but from clean renewables. The cars we will drive will be smart and electric, or powered by clean hydrogen. Actually, most of us won't even need a car to go to work because cleaner alternatives will be available to all. And now with Next Generation EU, we have the money to speed up the transition towards the sustainable economy you rightfully are calling for. The Italian recovery plan financed by Next Generation EU is investing, for example, in the new metro right here in Milano. Next Generation EU is helping Italians renovate their homes to cut energy consumptions and energy bills. It will build new high-speed railways and allow you, studenti fuori sede, to go back home faster. We are unleashing a green transition and investment wave unseen in European history. But beyond investment, the transition to a more sustainable economy needs new ideas and new lifestyles. The European Green Deal must become tangible and touchable in everybody's life. We need to add a cultural and an emotional dimension to it. And this is why we have launched the new European Bauhaus project. We have to rethink the ways we build our buildings and our cities. We want them to be more sustainable, but we also want them to be more beautiful and affordable for everyone. Sustainability, aesthetics, and inclusivity. These are the three core principles of the new European Bauhaus. And here in Milan, you are already putting these three principles in practice. In fact, one of the first projects to be awarded under the new European Bauhaus was developed right here in Milan. It's an urban renovation project for an area on the outskirts of the city called Porto di Mare. The plan is to turn the area in a 15-minute neighborhood where all the essential services can be reached by foot in less than 15 minutes. So schools, connections to the city center, a new food district with shops and restaurants. Everything will be on a human scale and more sustainable. And with the new European Bauhaus and the European Green Deal, we can together co-create the Europe of the future. More livable, at peace with the planet, fit for your generation. I'm very glad that Cattolica has become a partner to the new European Bauhaus and has decided to focus on linking beauty with social inclusion. The second mission for our union is innovation. Italy has always been a country of innovators and creative minds. And just look at the new innovation district here in Milan, the former Expo area. It is already attracting bright researchers and big companies from all over the world. Or think about the boom of smart agriculture in Italy. A new generation of farmers is using artificial intelligence and drones to make Italy's food even more high quality and sustainable. Only if we invest in innovation can we create the good jobs you seek. And can we make Europe more competitive on global markets? And let me take you to just a couple of examples on how Europe is doing that. For example, on one hand, we are investing heavily in digital technologies. Next Generation EU, for instance, will bring high-speed internet connections to factories, to farms, and to families across Europe, and it will help small business digitize their operations. Or on the other hand, we want to invest in young people like you. Here in Italy, Next Generation EU will support talented young people who cannot afford university, both with scholarship and by tripling the capacity of student houses. It will help universities hire young researchers, and it will fund new PhD programs designed to match the skills that companies need. More than 15% of Italy's recovery plan, that's 31 billion euros, will go to education and research, rightly so. And every euro that is invested in research and education is a euro well spent. So allow me to quote your speech, Magnifico Rettore, at the opening of the last academic year. You noted that universities were born in times of transition and transformation. They were first created in the late Middle Ages when philosophy, science, and technology were transforming quickly. And then they were born again in the 19th century during the Industrial Revolution. In both cases, and now I quote you, universities were the byproduct of the transition, but also the engine of change. They fed on the past to rethink it and shape the future. End of quote. I am confident, just like you, that universities once again will be the engine of change, because they are creative institutions, as you've just said, a place to learn from the past and innovate our way into the future. The third mission, I would like to talk about, has to do with revitalizing our democracies. Just like our European Union, our democracies, too, are constant work in progress. Democracy is never completed. It must always be cared for and always be worked on. And this is what makes it stand out from autocracy. Think about Università Cattolica's 100 years of history. The university was created at a crucial moment for Italy's democracy. Millions of people had just gained the right to vote for the first time. The Italian Catholics had just accepted to join Italy's democratic life and had elected their first representatives. Those were times of great expectation and huge hopes. And yet, in a blink of an eye, Italy's democracy was destroyed by fascism. And the same happened just a few years later in my country, Germany. Nazi Germany brought horrific death, unprecedented suffering, and devastating destruction over a whole continent. But after the war, democracy was rebuilt on stronger foundations. We built a European democracy. Of course, each of our democracies is slightly different and unique. It is shaped by our people and our history, by our own cultures and constitutions. But ultimately, democracy in all its forms comes down to the same thing. It gives people a voice. It gives the ability to change things at the ballot box. In democracies, we even fight for people's right to be against us, to be able to speak their mind or to change their mind, to be free to be yourself, so that if you are different from the majority, you are always equal before the law. A system where power is given and taken away by citizens and framed by checks and balances. Democracy is government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's democracy. But we must not take democracy for granted. Today, this democracy is facing new challenges. Much of our public debate happens on social platforms that are privately owned. And the opponents of democracy are using modern technologies to manipulate our democratic debate through systematic disinformation. They seek to muddy the waters so much that truth and facts become impossible to distinguish from lies and falsehoods. And this erodes and undermines public trust. I see it as our mission to both protect and expand our democracies. I want Europe to protect people from illegal content online and from disinformation, making social media platforms more responsible for the content they host. I want Europe to protect people from hate speech and hate crime, and thus adding them to the list of crimes in our treaties. I want Europe to protect our democracy from every kind of backsliding and protect the rule of law in every corner of our union. But this is only one part of the job. We need you. We also want Europe to engage more with you and listen to what you have to say and what you demand from Europe and what your dreams of Europe are. It is for this reason that I have proposed to make 2022 the European Year of Youth. We want you to make your voice heard. We will open new spaces to discuss European policies with you, where you can tell us about your aspirations for Europe. And we will encourage each member state to do the same. Our democracy needs your engagement. So speak up and Europe will listen. Voglio un'Europa per i giovani e voglio un'Europa dei giovani. Last month, Pope Francis sent a powerful message to young people like you. He spoke about these pandemic times and how to move past them. The Pope said, and I quote, Whenever a young person falls, all humanity falls. Yet when a young person stands up again, the whole world rises as well. And he continued to say, "Dear young people, what a great potential you have in your hands. What great strength you have in your hearts. If our world is to arise, it needs your strength, your enthusiasm, and your passion." End of quote. This is true for the world, and even more so for our union. If you raise up, Europe will rise with you, because Europe belongs to you. Europe, that is you. So let me conclude by wishing you a peaceful Christmas and a great new academic year here at Università Cattolica. Buon Natale e viva l'Europa!
Ringrazio la Presidente per il suo discorso del quale avevamo bisogno. We needed such a speech, Madam. Ringrazio tutti i presenti che ci hanno onorato della loro partecipazione, le autorità, i colleghi, gli studenti, e dichiaro aperto l'anno accademico 2021-2022 dell'Università Cattolica del Sacro Cuore.
I podcast di Affari Internazionali, la rivista dello IAI. Ascoltate i nostri podcast su affariinternazionali.it.